You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
You're listening to the latest edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrana.
The Word of God is powerful, but it sort of needs to be worked. Can I say it like that? You've got to sort of, if you would, start committing yourself to working the Word into this place, your home, this city, this town, your job. Begin to work the Word into your life, and you will see the power of the Word at work. But there is a very real practical part to it. I've got to work the Word.
So if you're itching to enjoy the fruit from that seed you just picked up, remember, you can't just toss it in the ground and expect a harvest right away. Make sure to water it every day. Sprinkle on some fertilizer and keep those pesky birds and insects at bay. Just like that. You can't really expect God's Word to make an impact in your life without putting in some effort yourself. Today, Pastor Bo encourages you to weave the Word into your everyday life. That's when it will really start to buzz. Now here's Pastor Bo as he begins his message, The Powerful Word at Work.
Acts chapter 19 in your Bible. The title of my message is The Powerful Word at Work. And I really would like your attention. I know you'll give me your attention the entire time, but there's just a statement or two here I don't want you to miss at the beginning. I would like for you to please make the connections mentally as we study this passage of Scripture about the powerful Word and how when it is put to work in a city, you can expect it to work powerfully. Okay, did you hear that, everybody together? I really do mean this, and I'm really challenging us and want to help us with this. I want to challenge you and myself to get very intentional with bringing the Bible into everything that you do. Not having it being some second, third, fourth, fifth thing that you sort of consult or work in somehow. I'm asking you to make it primary. I'm asking you to make it the number one thing that you base to base your conversations on, your witnessing, all things in your life that you would begin to just to really get a deep love for the Scriptures. Because you will notice when you do that, there is an immediate sense of power in your life that becomes available to you as a Christian, and real traction in your sanctification, in your holiness, in your becoming more like Christ. You need the Word of God to do that, not what somebody else said about the Word of God. You need the actual Word of God as the basis for your living. You need the Bible to be central in your life. And if you would do that, you would experience the power that is within it. And what we're really talking about is the power of a person. It's Jesus, for he is the Word. So when you consult the Word, depend on the Word, use the Word, think the Word, speak the Word, and you're just Word-based, Word-driven, Word-focused, you will experience the power of Jesus Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Your life will be on a different plane of living. You will be on a different trajectory than everyone else. There is a difference between using the actual Word of God and something else that even might be Christian, that could be good. It could be a great other Bible teacher, all those things. There is a difference, though, when you make the Word of God the means by which you're going to live out your Christian faith. When you make that the central thrust of your life, you will experience the blessing, the power, the enablement, the resources, all that exist in the Word become present, become accessible and experienced in your life. So I want to encourage you with that. I want to say that right up front because I believe God has a great work for our church. I believe there's a great work that God wants to do in the lives of the people in our church in regards to the Word of God. And I believe that God wants to use this church in such a way that this is its unique contribution. It is so word-driven. It is so word-focused. It is so word-based that its people are powerful people. They go out into the community powerfully as witnesses, and they build God's kingdom on planet Earth. That's very exciting to me. And I believe that one of the reasons I am here and I am doing what I'm doing is because that is something that God wants to do. I really believe that. Do you agree with me? And it's okay if it may take you some time, because I know that's a big vision. But I really do believe that. That's what I see. When I look out on the horizon, I see a group of people who love the Word of God and who are so centered and saturated and based on the Scriptures that they're powerful in their witness. Not perfect, still experience all the same hardships, still experience all the same difficulties and tensions that everybody else does. The difference is, though, you're standing on the promises of Almighty God. And that's very different. That's a different plane of living. And so I want to just encourage you with that by way of introduction today. The Word of God is powerful, but it sort of needs to be worked. Can I say it like that? You've got to sort of, if you would, start committing yourself to working the Word into this place, your home, this city, this town, your job. Begin to work the Word into your life, and you will see the power of the Word at work. But there is a very real practical part to it. I've got to work the Word. I've got to bring the Word into things. I've got to base things on the Word. I've got to use the Word. And then I'll experience the power of the Word. And I'm here to tell you today, if I could just get going into this message, you are going to see what the Word of God can do in a city. If you are convinced, if you're sort of, your brain is sort of forged in thinking that the Word of God is not powerful enough to deal with today's culture, you're just mistaken. And you just need to be able to be encouraged by the Word of God and see what God is still up to today. He is absolutely still capable, wants to, I will say it, cause revival. Cause revival. True revival, biblical revival, always centers around the Scriptures. That's what I'm talking about. Nehemiah 8 kind of revival, where you see a resurgence centered around the Word. People wanting to read the Word, understand the Word, get the sense of the Word, and then it just goes out into groups and homes and communities, and it's Word-based, Word-driven, and it's a revival because it spiritually awakens people to God, to the character of God, to the person of Jesus Christ, and it's exhilarating. It's exhilarating. Am I the only one that's still just a bit dreamy that God might want to do that again? If you poke and prod me, I mean, that's where my head still is at. I'm still sort of down in here deep, hoping, dreaming, wondering maybe if God might. Like, do it here, Lord, you know? Do it here, Lord. Why does everything got to start in California? You know? Start something in Florida. Start something in Melbourne. Start something in Palm Bay. In your heart, in my heart, with the Bible, with the Scriptures, the power of the Spirit working through His Word. Amen? I want to see that, and I can't force it. That's a God thing, how He reaches and does something unique in a generation. I can't manipulate that. You don't even try. You just pray and you stay faithful to the Word of God in your generation, and God will do what God wants to do. But listen, ever since the fall, the human race has been in absolute rebellion against God. Having, according to Psalm chapter 2, verse 3, if you wanted to look there, you could, mankind has basically burst God's bonds apart, cast off His cords from them. That's again, Psalm 2, 3. They imagine themselves to be free. You hear that kind of language today between maybe a non-Christian and a Christian. A non-Christian might say to a Christian, man, I'm free. I'm free. And a Christian will look at them and go, you're bound. You're actually bound. But the person who is secular and unbelieving, they think they're the ones that are free. They imagine themselves to be free. But in reality, mankind has become enslaved to sin. That's John 8, verse 34, Romans 6, verse 17. Not only are they enslaved to sin, but they are also enslaved to Satan. 1 John 5, 19. I'm not putting those on the screen for us. I'm trying to get us to this next verse. The Apostle Paul said it this way to the Ephesians. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 2, he said, you were dead at one point in the trespasses and sins. He says in verse 2 of Ephesians 2, in which you once walked. So in the past, you were dead. That's not nice talk, is it? But it's true spiritually. You were dead. You were in trespasses and sins. But that's who you were. That's the one way in which you walked back then. You were following the course of the world. You were following the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of what? Of disobedience. Those who are unbelieving, those who disobey the word of God, the gospel, the commands to repent, those who disobey those. So see, Satan manipulates fallen mankind, and he manipulates them, and we were all there at one point, but by two primary means. The first way that he influences or manipulates fallen people today is in their minds. In their minds. Please understand this. It's very important. Are you still dialed in with me right now? Stay dialed in. This is very, very important. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 says, the natural person, so you and I were born natural, natural person. So someone who is not born again, they're still living in that unregenerate state, condition. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Oh, I just wish you would just understand this. They can't. They're not regenerate. The Spirit of God hasn't done that work in them yet. So they can't accept the things of the Spirit of God for why? They're foolish to them. They're folly to him. And he is not, understand this, able to. He's not, the lost person is not able to understand them. Why? Because the things of God are spiritually discerned. So there's a struggle there. So lacking, what is that struggle? There's a lacking of the Holy Spirit's illumination. That's missing. Unregenerate men and unregenerate women, just unbelieving people, they fall prey to Satan, who seeks to blind the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. They can't see Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:4 is what I'm referencing there. So this is confirmed by the spiritual strategy for war with Satan's kingdom that we are a part of as Christians, that is given to us in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. This is where we see the spiritual strategy for war that we are to have against Satan's kingdom. It's given to us there. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, anybody walking in the body today, in the flesh today? Huh? That's all of us, right? Here we are. We're alive. This is where we're at. Though we walk in the flesh, now look at this. This is the word of God. We are not waging war according to the flesh. Everybody understand that? At least when you see it face value right there, there's a lot we could unpack right there and tease that out. But let's just keep reading. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare, they're not of the flesh, but the weapons that we do have, which would be the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Everybody hear that? I'm trying to get through an introduction so we can get into the main text, but I've got to lay some key things down first. It's the word of God that is our primary weapon. It's the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power, God's word has packed within it divine potency, like power, to do something here, to destroy strongholds. Strongholds are mental, intellectual, philosophical places that people live in that are lies, that they stay caged in and imprisoned in. And it's like, man, what? They just can't believe it no matter what I say, what I do. Yeah, because they're in that. It's a stronghold that the enemy has on the mind. And the word of God, guys, really is the only thing with the Spirit of God that can go you can kind of start breaking down, breaking up, tearing off strongholds, lies that have been so, and someone can just start to see Jesus, see their sin, see the work of the cross and its relevance to their life, their situation, their condition, and they can start understanding the word. It's amazing when the word of God works in a heart. It's absolutely awesome. So the word has the power to destroy strongholds. And then look at verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 10. We, do you see it? We destroy arguments. Now we've got to know the word, right? We've got to be word. And listen, it's not even so much you need to know it. You just need to work it. Use it. And it's not a magical thing. It's your food. It's your source of life here. When you use the word, it's going to do things like this. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion, every high tower opinion about God, about Christ. I mean, the highest stuff in our secular liberal thought that there could be against the scriptures. The scriptures alone have the power within them to destroy that argument. All of man's fancy ways of doing away with God and pushing out Christ and getting the word out of our lives, our culture, man, the word of God itself has the ability to destroy those arguments and every lofty opinion that is raised against the knowledge of God. And take every thought. Now, we destroy arguments and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. We hear something, someone says something that's anti-Christ. Something says something that's not true according to scripture. We take those thoughts captive and we bring them into the obedience of Christ. Now, do you hear me today on that? Because there's a lot of real good stuff there. This is how we are. This is how we're to live. This is how we're to live. Something's not true. We're to take it captive. And are we going to obey or disobey? I mean, that's our choice. Are we going to take it captive and then bring it into the obedience of Jesus Christ? How many lies circle around me and you on the daily, on the grind? How many secular philosophies are there that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God that swim around me all the time? Now, I want to challenge you, because if you get in that pool and you don't obey scripture, it'll affect you. It'll mess with you. Your head, your heart, your faith, being able to stand firm, be grounded, rooted, be able to see arguments destroyed, see strongholds broken, all that sort of thing. No, it's not going to happen because I'm caught up in the same pool. And so I'm neutralized. I've lost that edge. I don't have that spiritual vitality. I don't have that dynamic of the Spirit at work in my life because I'm not leading with the word. I'm allowing the culture to influence my sort of lukewarm Christian experience. If we're going to see God can do it every once. I'm just telling you, the things we've seen throughout the years when God does a work, it's because at the same time, there's a group of people somewhere who are praying and who are taking God at his word. You can boil it all these revivals, all these great moves of God we've seen throughout our generations, you can boil it down to a very small nucleus of people who pray a lot. And they take God just right at his word. And it goes out from there. So that's still a long introduction. I'm still working through it. We are waging war against ideas. We are waging war today against proud philosophies. We are waging war today against thoughts in an effort to tear down human ideologies and bring every thought captive to Christ. Now that can only be done with the truth of scripture. Please hear that. Please understand that. There's all kinds of other tactics that people use, but I'm telling you, the way God will deal with that, the way that God will do that is through the truth of the scriptures. Now, the second way that Satan exerts an influence over our fallen human will, though he can never force the human will to act, is through temptation. He does it through temptation. He does it both externally through the evil world system that we're living in. There's a temptation that comes from the outside, and there is an internal temptation through our own sinful human nature. So Bo is born again, but Bo is still in this flesh, and it still deals with that. One day, this will die, and there'll be glorification, and this will be conformed to the same resurrected body that Jesus had, and forever then I'll be with the Lord. And that'll be a different situation than the one that we're still in right now. Now, Jesus expressed the fearful effect of Satan's influence. It is quite fearful when you think about it, that Satan can influence. But he spoke to the Pharisees about it at one point, and he said it this way in John 8:44. Now, they were anti the Lord. They were against him. and they were, but they were religious. You guys know that. Look at John 8:44. He said it this way: "You are of your father, the devil." Wow. "And your will is to do your father's desires." That's how far Satan's influence had gotten in their religious system, in their lives, that the Lord Jesus himself could say that as a analysis of their situation. However, while we understand that, Satan doesn't have everything just kind of going his way, okay? Everybody hear that? He doesn't. Like right now, yes, he's allowed to influence in various ways, and all that is filtered through the hands of God. But please just understand at the same time that while we understand that's real and all that, he is not just getting things all the way that he wants them. Into this fallen, rebellious world that he is influencing, 1 John 3:8 says that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. You understand that together? So, even though, yes, we get it, influence and all of that that the enemy has, please understand, he's not just running all over here. He is not. This is why Jesus came. Jesus came to put a halt to that, to intervene into that, to break that up, to solve the problem. He came to destroy the works of the garden, destroy the works of the devil. All the tactics that the devil uses to keep people deceived and away from God, Christ came to destroy that. Please hear the language of the Bible in regards to spiritual warfare. It's all this stronghold and war and destroying kind of talk. The word of God goes before us and does this kind of a thing. Tears down, destroys the works of the enemy. His death on the cross, talking about Jesus, actually assured Satan's ultimate defeat. Hebrews 2:14 says that since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, Jesus did, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. So when the glorious earthly kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ comes, we know that's going to come one day, Satan will not be permitted to tarnish it with his presence. According to Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3, you can read that. But he will be released for one last sort of burst of evil activity at the end of the millennium. He and all of his wicked, rebelling forces that are at that point made up of both fallen angels and humans at that point will then be cast into the lake of fire forever, forever. That day's coming into our future. Revelation 20, verses 10 through 15. But the earthly ministry of Jesus that we know about and often study in our Bibles, listen, that earthly ministry foreshadowed Satan's ultimate defeat. Did you hear what I just said? When you see Jesus always exerting absolute sovereign authority and power over the demonic realm, please know that's just a little short. You know, we call that short videos, YouTube's little shorts. You guys know what I'm talking about? Little shorts. That's like a short of what his ultimate defeat will be into the future.
We're glad you joined us for today's edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrena. This broadcast comes to you from Melbourne, Florida, but we'd love to connect with you wherever you are. These messages can be found on our website or via podcast. Our website is trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. You can also get a hold of us through social media, Facebook or Instagram. There's much encouraging content for you to find through those avenues. If you go to our website, you'll find those icons at the bottom of the page. That's trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. Much valuable information is there for you, including our phone number and email. But we'll give you that here as well. Our number is 321-676-8992. If you need to hear it again, that's 321-676-8992. Our email address is info@mytrinitychurch.life. We desire for each of our listeners to be walking in a way that expresses their devotion to God and that others would see that lived out. We're praying this ministry would be just one piece of that process as you go about your day. We're looking forward to connecting with you in the next edition with Pastor Bo. Until then, keep the things you've heard today close to your heart and mind, and recall them through the day and week. We hope today is a day that your witness will bless those around you. Thanks for listening, and come back for more. This has been Truth That Transforms.